Fiat. September 6, 1937. Purpose of Creation. Speaking and operating life of God in the creature. God's Word. The Divine Will. How one who does his own will gambles away the divine. I am in the arms of the divine volition, which loves me so much that it does not want me to move down from its more than paternal arms, to keep me and raise me as it wants and pleases. And if it hears me say that I love it, oh, how it celebrates and forms the seas of its love around me, which repeat to me in each instant, I love you, I love you. And my sweet Jesus, visiting my little soul and finding me in the arms of his will, all happy, said to me, my blessed daughter, how I love finding you always all abandoned in these arms. Your destiny is assured. You will live on our same food. We will have common goods. You must know that the one purpose for which we created the creation was precisely this. Creation was to serve as the dwelling for man, and man was to serve as our dwelling. We wanted to form as many of our lives for as many creatures as we would deliver to daylight. Each of them was to possess our life, but a speaking and operating life. Since we cannot be anywhere without saying anything or without operating. If we did so, it would be like forming as many prisons for us, which would impose on us silence and uselessness. Our Supreme Being speaks and operates. The word calls for the work, and the work manifests who we are, forming such beatitudes and joys as to make us happy, as well as all those who live together with us. Therefore, each word and work of ours is a new joy and happiness that we create for ourselves. This is why we want to form in man our speaking and operating life, because we were to form such wonders of our divine being as to create new and ever more beautiful creations. We wanted to display and unfold what we can do and know how to do, along with the new joys and happinesses. And where would we do all this? Inside our dwelling, man. But would you like to know what our word is? It is our will. Our will is the operator of our works, the narrator of our divine being, the bearer and keeper of our life in the creature. Without it, we do not move from our throne, nor do we form life in any dwelling. See the great necessity to possess our divine will and to live in it, because with it we can do anything. We can issue our most beautiful works, maintain our purpose in force, form from our being as many lives as we want. Without our will, everything is hampered. Our love and our power are hindered. Our works halted. One could say that we remain as a God mute for the creatures. What ingratitude, what a crime to reduce us to silence. And while we wanted to honor them with our life in them as the dwelling of our delights and wonders, they have rejected us, not giving us the freedom to form it. And in our place they gave residence to passions, to sin, and to the ugliest vices. Poor man, without our will, without divine purpose, it would be as if he wanted to live without breath, without heartbeat, without blood circulation, which are the foundations of the human life. What life could he ever have? Wouldn't that be like killing himself on the spot? Such would be our life in the creature, with no breath, no heartbeat, no motion, and no word. It would be a tormenting, oppressive life, which would end up dying. It is true that with our power and immensity, we envelop everyone. We are present in all and everywhere. But lacking our divine volition within themselves, they never hear us speak. They understand nothing of our supreme being. They live within our immensity because no one can escape from us. But they don't feel that they are our children, but rather strangers to us. What sorrow, having so many things to say and remaining silent. Having the power to work who knows how many wonders, and not being able to do them because our will does not reign in them. Yet, our love is so great that it does not stop. We are all eyes to watch whoever wants to live in our will, all ears to listen to whoever calls it to live within them, all love to lean our great love upon the little love of the creature. And as soon as we see her disposed, we form our speaking life and we narrate to her the story of our will, the long story of our eternal love, how much we love her, and our longing to be loved. In fact, you must know that when we love and do not find anyone who loves us, our love does not know where to lean in order to be loved in return. And so it wanders, it raves, it agonizes. And if it finds not even a little I love you from a creature on which to lean, it withdraws back into ourselves, where we have our center of love. But it does so with such pain as to be incomprehensible to the created mind. The pains of unrequited love are unspeakable. They surpass all other pains. We want to always give. We are in continuous act of giving. But we want to find our will, willing to receive. A desire, a sigh, forming the space, the little shelves on which we can place our will and what we want to give and do. These desires and sighs are like the ears that listen to us, eyes that look at us, hearts that love us, minds that comprehend us. And if we don't find these little shelves, we cannot give her anything. And she remains blind, deaf, mute, and without a heart. Therefore, our will is put to flight, and it comes back to take shelter in our celestial regions. Then I continued to think about the divine will. I felt completely invested by it, and I prayed my dear Jesus to help me and keep me locked inside his heart, that I might live and know nothing other than his divine will. And he, coming back, continued, "My daughter, all the good of the creature is tied to my divine will. If she unties herself from it, all her goods are ended. You must know that every single time she does her human will, she gambles away the divine with all its goods. Hence, she loses all that is beautiful, all that is holy and good. This is an incalculable loss. The poor creature is thrown into the most squalid misery. She loses the rights to all goods, and she is invested by such unhappiness that gives her no peace. And even if it seems that she has something good, it is apparent, and it ends up torturing her completely. On the other hand, each time she decides with total firmness to do my divine will, she gambles away the human will, the miseries, the passions. She loses all evils, the miserable rags, the filthy clothes that the human will had formed for her. What a happy loss! to lose evils and miseries, his glory, it is victory, it is honor. But to lose the goods is cowardice and dishonor. See then, if the creature wants it, she can recover from the great loss of my will that she suffered by doing her own. More so, since she will have the help of our power, of our love, and of our will itself. By acquiring again the rights to all goods, all will defend her in order for her to recover from the lost game.